All right, here we go. Ephesians chapter 1, verse 1 and 2. Paul, an apostle of Christ Jesus by the will of God, to the saints who are at Ephesus and who are faithful in Christ Jesus, grace to you and peace from God our Father and the Lord Jesus Christ. The Ephesians is a letter that Paul wrote to what church? Well, the church in Ephesus. And verse 1 and 2 are the greeting of the letter. You know how when you write a letter, you start out with a greeting. And today we're going to focus on this greeting, verse 1 and 2. And if you look at verse 1 and 2 carefully, you could divide these verses in three sections. Right? The first one, from this verse 1 and 2, we learn about the person who is sending the letter. Now, we're going to learn about this person, who is Paul. And just by looking at these two verses, there are a lot that we could learn about him. And the second thing we learn is that the people who are receiving this letter, we're going to learn about them, people, and who are these people? Well, the congregation in the church in Ephesus. And the third thing that we're going to learn from these two verses is the blessings that the sender is sending to the recipients. And there's so much to be learned in these two verses. Now let's look at who is the sender. Now, Paul is the sender, the apostle, and I usually don't go into the background of these letters, you know, what kind of city was Ephesus and all that. Unless you want to know, I'll just skip all that. You could come to me and we could talk about it. Or your Bibles probably have little introduction if you have, you know, those kind of Bibles, learn about the city, learn about all that. But I'm going to just stick with the content of this letter, what the Bible has. Paul, and I want you to notice something. How does he describe himself? Well, he says he is an apostle, not just an apostle, but apostle of Christ Jesus. So, from this, you need to, understand that Paul, when he introduces himself, as an apostle of Christ Jesus. And if we look at these verses all the way down to verse 14, that which we read, everything that Paul describes, either it's him or whatever it is, you're going to notice something, that he does that. He introduces all that in terms of Jesus Christ. So even as he introduces himself, he has to say here that I'm an apostle of Christ Jesus. And, you know, why do you think that he will do that? Because to him, Jesus Christ is everything. I mean, even about thinking about himself, if it is not in terms of Jesus Christ, there's no meaning for a Paul. And even as he speaks of all these other things we're going to see from verse 1 through all the way down, it's everything is in terms of Jesus Christ. Paul has nothing to say except, you know, how is his relationship with this person, Jesus Christ. Well, how do you introduce yourself? I mean, of course, you know, in this world, you will introduce yourself in certain ways. But, I mean, if you really want to introduce yourself to someone, if you really want to show them who you really are, how are you going to do it? Well, by how you introduce yourself, it tells you a lot about you. You know, what is important to you? If a person is so proud of being a doctor, the first thing he's going to say is, hey, I'm a doctor. Because that's what defines him as far as he's concerned. Right? So you could understand about that person from that kind of thing. And here, Paul cannot describe himself apart from Christ. He is an apostle of Jesus Christ. But it's not just himself that he is describing it this way. He describes the recipients, the people who are at Ephesus church. How does he describe them? Well, if you look at verse 1 and 2, there are Christians who are faithful in Christ Jesus. Again, even when he describes the recipients, he could only do it in terms of Jesus Christ. The blessings that he speaks of, the recipients are receiving in verse 2. Grace and peace from God our Father and the Lord Jesus Christ. This is not just blessing, but this is blessing from the Lord Jesus Christ. Well, on and on he goes. Even verse 3, verse 4, everything he speaks about, it will be in terms of Jesus Christ. And that's what the Bible is all about. It's about Jesus Christ. Everything is in terms of Jesus Christ. This is what our religion is all about. This is what the Christianity is all about. Jesus Christ. And we have nothing to say apart from Jesus Christ. And that is very, very important, you guys. This church, our church is about Jesus Christ. The message we have at this church is about Jesus Christ. Your life is about Jesus Christ. How would you introduce yourself? How would you do that? I mean, how do you do that? I'm sure you introduce yourself, out there. How would you do that? If it is not in terms of Jesus Christ, then there's something not, biblical about it. Because everything, the way that you see things, then is this worldly. Because if you say, I'm a doctor or I'm whatever, that's how you introduce yourself, then you're describing yourself only in terms of this world. But I want you to learn something from Paul today. Look at him, how he's describing everything. It's always in terms of Jesus Christ. We're looking at Ephesians chapter 1, verse 1 and 2. For those of you who just came in, Ephesians chapter 1, verse 1 and 2. Now, then, he is an apostle of Jesus Christ. Now, apostle, what does that mean? What kind of person is an apostle? Literally, apostle means the sent one. He is sent. But we're learning here that he is an apostle of Jesus Christ. So he is sent by whom? Jesus Christ. To do what? That will be the next question, right? He is sent by Jesus Christ to do what? To preach Jesus Christ. He is sent by Christ also means that he is sent by Christ so that he has the authority of Jesus Christ, the authority that comes from Jesus Christ. Jesus Christ gave him this authority to do what he is sent to do. So if you are an apostle of Jesus Christ, you need to understand that first, I am a sent one. And you need to understand by whom. And you need to understand for what. Otherwise, you're going to be lost out there. But Paul understands perfectly who he is, what he is doing. And this is what I hope that it will result as we study this together. That you will first know who Christ is, and you will know what he has done. But also, because of what he has done, you will know about yourself, who you are. Okay? Thus, then, if you are an apostle of Jesus Christ, then you understand you are sent by Christ to preach Christ, right? So you will always speak the word of Christ, nothing else. If you understand yourself to be an apostle of Jesus Christ, you will speak only the word of Christ. Unless you are confused of who you are. He is an apostle of Jesus Christ by the will of God, it says, right? Our verse. Paul, an apostle of Christ Jesus by the will of God. He is an apostle and preaches Christ in obedience of God's will. Not by his own will, but by the will of God. See, he understands this. Now we are to obey the will of God. It is not about using God to fulfill my own will. That is not what our religion is all about. Sometimes you see so many people who go to church, their whole purpose is to use God to fulfill their will. See, they want to do something. All these things, you know, they have this plan, they have this hope. Now they want to use God to fulfill those. Those kind of people do not understand who they are in Christ, and what for what purpose they are sent to this world, to do what? Thus we pray, your will be done on earth as it is in heaven. I hope you understand that whenever you pray that Lord's Prayer, that is what you're saying. I pray that you will be done, not my will. But so many times, I think that's why learning about Lord's Prayer, which we'll do sometime, is very, very important, because when I hear contents of prayer from these people, it's not about God's will be, you know, their desire is for God's will be done, but it's always what they want. And they're asking God to do that for them. And that is not how Jesus teaches us to pray. So we say, you will be done, your will be done, on earth as it is in heaven. Jesus Christ is the one who completely and perfectly fulfill the will of God. Do you remember how he prayed? Not as I will, but as you will, Father. And I want you to understand that everything is according to God's will. Our salvation is according to God's will. Verse 5, he predestined us to adoption as sons through Jesus Christ to himself. What? According to the kind intention of his will. Verse 11, God is who works all things after the counsel of his will. Brothers and sisters in Jesus Christ, you and I, we have also been called by God according to his will. Did you know that? Now you understand why here that as we talk about Apostle Paul, you understand that Apostle Paul is called by God according to God's will. You have no problem with that, right? But how about yourself? Do you understand that you are also called by God according to his will? Go to Romans. Romans chapter 8. Romans chapter 8. Verse 28. And let me read it to you. And we know that God causes all things to work together for good to those who love God, to those who are called according to his purpose. Are you included there? Of course you are. Let me read it again. And we know that God causes all things to work together for good to those who love God, that's you, to those who are called according to his purpose. For those whom he foreknew, he also predestined to become conformed to the image of his son, so that he would be the firstborn among many brethren. And these whom he predestined, he also called. And these whom he called, he also justified. And these whom he justified, he also glorified. Now I want you to understand, I want you to remember the sermon that you heard last Sunday. This calling, this God calling you is confirmed through the ministry of his church. That's why you come, confess your faith to the church. And the church will confirm. Thus, you will have the confidence that God has called you. And we're going to talk about this in more detail. What kind of call is this? And for what purpose you have been called? And you've got to be very clear about these things. Otherwise, you're going to be very confused. The fact is, you need to, you know, ask yourself, am I called by God? Yes, you have to say yes. Otherwise, you're not even Christian. But you ask, okay, if he called, then for what purpose did he call me? There has to be some purpose. And we're going to learn this kind of stuff as we study this letter. Understand? That's why church membership is so important. You cannot just, you know, I told you about this, right? You cannot just get up one day and say, I'm a Christian. Who said so? You? Oh, so you said it, so it's done. That's not how it works. What if you're wrong? No. No, you need to come to church. And with the collective wisdom of the church, you need to find out whether your confession is biblical. Then, and only then, you will have confidence that, A, I am called by God. You know, as a pastor, where does my confidence come from that I am called? Well, the OPC church told me that I'm called. I cannot just get up one day and say, I'm a pastor. You will laugh at me if that's the case. I just get up one day and say, hey, now on, call me pastor. You guys are going to think I'm nuts. And I wasn't sure. I felt the calling. I knew he was calling, but I need to do something. That's why I went to the church that I believe to be biblical. And I told them, hey, examine me. Do whatever you need to do to confirm my call. So we always talk about this call in a two separate category. Inner calling and outer calling. And inner calling has to be confirmed by the outer calling in order for you to have the confidence. Because if you just have an inner calling, you cannot really have that confidence, because what if you're wrong? Inner calling is something that you know, only you know. If that is confirmed by the outer calling, which the church does, then you could have confidence. Paul understands that everything is according to God's will. Galatians chapter 1 verse 15, Paul says this, but when God, who had set me apart even from my mother's womb, and called me through his grace, was pleased to reveal his son in me, so that I might preach him among the Gentiles. Even the words that he received are not his own. Galatians chapter 1 verse 11 and 12. For I would have you know, brethren, that the gospel which was preached by me is not according to man. For I neither received it from man, nor was I taught it, but I received it through a revelation of Jesus Christ. Just like it, your pastor has to understand this, that I'm called to preach Christ. And what I preach must come from this book. That's only way that I'm confident that what I'm preaching is not from me or any man, but from God. And that's the clue that you gotta look for too. Is this guy preaching from the Word? Are you hearing the Word of God? Otherwise, who am I and what am I doing? You need to demand from me that I preach from this book. You need to make sure that I do that. Otherwise, you have to do something about it. Because any authority that I might have, or any other leaders in this church might have, has to come from this book. Which means I need to do everything according to this book, and you need to make sure that I do that. Don't just trust me. Please don't do that. I mean, I'll try my best, but I'm not perfect, as you already know. So if you trust me, man, you guys gonna... Just don't do that. Trust this book, and this book only.
Trust God.
And you make sure that everything is taught by this church is from that book. It's your job. Paul understands this. That's why he describes himself this way, an apostle of Jesus Christ by the will of God. See? Yes, everything is according to his will. That's why we're, you know, as a Calvinist, that's why we're able to go home and sleep. Because if everything is according to what we have to do, how can you go and go to sleep? You know, true Armenian people, I really respect them, the true ones. See, to me, so many are not true Armenian. Because I know, I heard a story, this true Armenian pastor who understands that it is up to men, we need to do something to save people. So this person, after he preaches and he comes home, he just cannot go to sleep. Because he says to himself, I could have done more. If I could have done a little bit more, then one more person might be saved. So he just cannot go to sleep because it is up to him. Seriously, if saving people is my job and it is up to me, how can I sleep? I need to go out and preach to everybody. They are going to hell. How can you sleep if because you're not preaching and that person is going to hell? How can you sleep like that? If you're truly Armenian, I don't think you could sleep. How can you do that? If you understand that it's up to you, and because you're not working, that someone is going to hell. How can you sleep? I go home and sleep, because I know it's not up to me. Now, am I saying this so that Calvinists could be lazy? No. We are the one who could truly have confidence. Because His will be done. His will be done so that I could always do these things with confidence. That if it is God's will for Him to use me in any circumstances as I bring God's word, His will be done. I know it. So I am able to have confidence in what I do. Because it's not up to me. My job is to obey and do my best. But it is God who will bring it to fruition. Thank God I'm a Calvinist. Otherwise, I'd be dead a long time ago. We look towards heaven. We cannot wait until that reality becomes visible because our eternal home, heaven, is a place where God's will and man's will be identical. Can you just even imagine that reality? That whatever your will be identical with God's will. Beautiful place that it will be in heaven. That's what our salvation is all about. Amazing grace, isn't it? Can you even think about this? That sinner like me, A born sinner who will always go against God's will. Who will always go the opposite direction. And look at what his salvation is accomplished for me. For this kind of sinner. One day I'm going to see my God face to face. And whatever that I wish, all my will be identical to his will. Do you know how perfect our salvation is? That's what his salvation has accomplished. And when we look at Jesus Christ, when he lived his life here, you see that picture. You look at Jesus Christ and you will know what kind of salvation that you have received. Look at Jesus Christ, God, but at the same time, what? Man. Do you see in Jesus Christ how God and man perfectly harmonized? Your will and God's will be identical. Now, I want you to understand, brothers and sisters, that life of heaven is already begun. And you understand that whenever you sin, that something is working in you. And that work makes you understand that whatever you're doing is sin. This doesn't happen in unbelievers. Oh, they have what is called conscience. Yeah. So if they kill somebody, they feel guilty, but not guilty against God. No, they're just regretting. They're not really repenting. But see, you are different. And you need to understand what is happening in me. Sinner like me, how can I even think that what I'm doing is against God's will and I feel guilty towards God? And you need to understand, wait, I'm not capable of this. Something happened. Something happened. Yes. God made you a new creation. And even as you understand you're sinning against God and you feel sorry that you are sinning against God and you truly, as far as you are able, you repent of that sin. And understand, brothers and sisters, as you do that, life of heaven has already begun. The life where your will and God's will be identical. That life has already begun. Something is already working. Yeah? So this is what you need to understand. And that life will continue. And you will mature in the Word. And one day, your will be identical with God's. Your desires will be just like what He desires. But understand that life has already begun. And I want you to understand that everything is according to His will. This is what your life is all about. Jesus Christ has already witnessed that reality. How man and God living in harmony. How man's desire and God's desire will be identical. Jesus Christ witnessed already to us that reality. it is not only possible, but it is our reality that Christ has accomplished for us. God is making us more and more like Jesus Christ, and we will be like Him when we see Him face to face. And here, Apostle Paul, as he describes himself, he understands this reality, this truth. Paul, an apostle of Christ Jesus by the will of God. Mike, a son of God by the will of God. You could put your name there. And you understand that God has called you to be a Christian. God has called you to be His son. God has called you to be His bride. I could go on and on with this, right? And by the will of God, that is His pleasing will, that He will call you as such. Is this your understanding? Like Paul, you understand this. That you would describe yourself this way. That's the point of today's Bible study. Yeah, we don't go much far, but I want you to understand this. Can you do that? Put your name there. And all kinds of things that God is calling you to be. And that is His will for you. Maybe when you write an email to your friend, you could write something like this. Why are you laughing? It's true. It's more important than anything you could say about yourself. Why is it, as a Christian, everything that you use, the language you use to describe yourself or describe your friend, describe everything, is always in terms of this world? Why is that? I don't know, some of us might be even embarrassed to describe our own self in terms of Christ or terms of heaven. But we cannot fake it. If it is important to you, it will show it. That's how we are. You will say the most important thing about you to other people. Well, at least the importance will be according to you. See, you think that's the most important thing. But for us, Jesus Christ, we boast Him. And when we boast Him, they will laugh at you because they laughed at Him. They will ridicule you because they ridiculed Him. But that is our joy, to be counted as one with Christ. Isn't that what we want? Well, if you're a Christian, I know that that is what you want ultimately. Time to time you kind of forget who you are and all that, but you'll come back. It's a beautiful truth that Paul is telling us. Even as he describes himself. Brothers and sisters, let's understand the same thing. And next week, we'll talk about then who is the recipients of this letter. So we're learning the sender, right, today. Now, who are receiving this letter? To the saints who are at Ephesus and who are faithful in Jesus Christ. And I want you to think about that verse, the latter half of verse 1. the recipients. They're called the saints, number one, saints. Right? And the second thing that we learn about these recipients is that they are faithful. And the third thing that we're learning about this recipients, that they are in Christ. So we're going to get to that next week. And you are the saint. You are the saints. You are the faithful ones. And you are in Christ. So let's understand what those things really mean, so that we may know who we are. Okay? Let's pray together then. Heavenly Father, we thank you that you have called us to be your sons now and forever. And you have sent us to this world as the ambassadors of your country, heavenly country. Let us witness the reality of our eternal home. Let us witness Jesus Christ. And let us be able to show to the whole world who we are in Christ. Let us be able to witness what kind of salvation that we have received. What kind of salvation that our Lord Jesus Christ has accomplished. We thank you, God. In Jesus' name we pray. Amen.